This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Edith Hill, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Warren. I'm so excited to talk to you today.
I am too, because I've got to admit to you, I love tunnels. I absolutely am fascinated by tunnels. Apparently, there's a secret tunnel network here under Melbourne, and I've been trying to find out information about it. I can't find out about it, but we can find out about one that is certainly popular on TikTok.
Yes. So I am also fascinated by tunnels, but because I hate tunnels. The idea of being trapped in a tunnel, horrifying. Why oh. I'm now watching hours of tunnel content, I cannot explain to you. However, I'm doing it because it's fascinating.
It is fascinating, isn't it? I've just got to share with you something. I was riding on a bike ride here in Victoria last year, and I went through an old disused train tunnel, and I didn't have any bike lights on me, honestly, and it was in the country. So you can imagine long grass and everything. Anyway, it was a hot day and I'm riding through this tunnel and, of course, everything disappears. Like, you can't tell where the walls are. And I thought, any minute my bike handle is going to hit the wall of the tunnel, I'm going to fall off. There's going to be snakes hiding in there from the heat and it's just going to be a nightmare. But it didn't happen. I got to the other end, but the fear really kicked in while I was in that tunnel.
My chest pain really kicked in during that story. You could not pay me to do that. 100% no, I wouldn't do it. Absolutely not.
No way?
Okay. Absolutely not.
Okay, watch it from the safety of your laptop. Tell us about this tunnel drama.
Okay, so there is a woman on TikTok. She has dug through the foundations underneath her house in her basement, and she has dug a tunnel. And I don't mean just a little hole in the wall. I mean a full-on tunnel.
Oh.
Under her house and under her neighbor's house.
Oh, describe it to us.
So what she's done is she's taught herself so many skills, more skills than any tradie could imagine having in one lifetime, I swear. So she has done metal fabrication, she's done concrete reinforced beams and walls. She's created a pulley system with a trolley to remove large pieces of rock out of this tunnel. It is so much more complex than listeners could possibly imagine. This tunnel situation is terrifying, ridiculous, and kind of impressive, if I'm being honest, that one woman has learned all of these skills to be able to excavate a tunnel under her house.
I'm impressed. What do the neighbours say about going under their house, though?
Well, here's the thing. This is where the drama kind of begins, is that a few people in the comments started saying, like, hey, if I was your neighbor, I'd be kind of pissed that you're digging this tunnel. You don't have permits. You're not technically like a structural engineer. How do you know this isn't going to cause a sinkhole? How do you know that if there's a flood one day, this isn't going to destroy the structural integrity of the buildings around you? Because my first instinct was, wow, that's really cool, but I would be so mad if that was my neighbor doing that under my house. And so a lot of people have done some digging. As soon as this gained, you know, media attention, some investigative reporters started sniffing around, as they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we love a bit of goss. We love knowing what's going on. And some people found that she was living in a neighborhood that had a large immigrant population. And people were speculating that she was taking advantage of her neighbors' fear of the government systems and fear of, you know, not being able to communicate effectively or worry about causing a fuss or, you know, all of these kinds of things. And because of this, she was, you know, taking advantage of them and by not letting them know that this was happening. And when they found out it was happening, they didn't feel comfortable or confident to be able to report this to the correct official channels.
Oh, wow. I wonder, and I don't expect you to know the answer to this, but I wonder if, you know, if you own a block of land or a house, how far down that goes and whether the land underneath, I mean, I'm sure there's regulations in terms of what you can't tunnel, etc., but, you know, whether mm-hmm. who owns that land beyond a certain point.
This is so interesting. And it reminds me of being younger and my mum always saying, dial before you dig. And that was always the thing, right? Before you dig a hole, dial, because you're going to hit power lines. You could hit a water main. And of course, people think about owning the land that their house might be on. But how far down does that actually go is such an interesting question. And people on TikTok thought the same thing. And so from what I gathered, and by all means, do not take my word for this, is that the laws depend on, of course, what country you're in and also what state you reside in, based on how old the state is, the infrastructure in the area, the, you know, tunneling systems in terms of water mains and electric lines, internet cables, all of that kind of stuff. It all depends. But there is a point where your ownership stops of that land, because, you know, she's not just going down, she's going down and across. So even if it was just deep below her own property, I think the idea of where people are getting really uncomfortable is she's going down and across underneath other people's property without the proper permits and knowing that this is something that's safe and also legal to do.
Edith, do we know why she's doing it? What's the intended destination?
I think she just wants to dig a tunnel.
Okay.
From what I can gather, she's wanting to learn some new skills. She wants to dig a tunnel, and she's talking about wanting to build something with the rock that she's excavating.
So maybe
I think she is keeping some of the nicer rock. Yeah, I think so. And to be honest, she is getting millions and millions of views off of her TikTok page because she's recording this whole process. I think it would have started out, and this is me speculating, of course, as a genuine curiosity, and I'm like, oh, wonder if I could do that kind of thing. But if she is monetizing her page, and I haven't checked to see if it is, but if her page is monetized, she's also making now a nice little tidy sum off of the videos that she's posting on TikTok too.
Well, you know what? If I was the neighbor, I'd seal off the tunnel and I would get it checked out for its structural integrity by an engineer, a qualified engineer, get a permit, all that sort of stuff. And then I'd create a nice cellar downstairs or, you know, something.
Yeah.
Another room.
Yeah.
Let's use it.
Nice and cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love another room in my house, but do I want to go to the effort of tunneling below a slab? Maybe not. No. It's not my cup of tea.
We need to get you through this bike tunnel first, Edith. I
think that's the thing. You're going to have to drag me. Drag me. There is no way I'm going in there.
We are chatting with Dr. Edith Hill, Associate Lecturer in Learning and Teaching Innovation at Flinders University, about what everyone's talking about on TikTok at the moment. Now, one thing I hate is when I deliberately buy products that are, you know, friendly to the earth, as friendly as they can be, I guess, and then I find out they're not. What's going on?
I hate it. It frustrates me so much. There is this idea in, you know, retail and consumer culture and products of greenwashing. And greenwashing is something where companies, you know, use words like eco and use green packaging or use like a brown packaging to make something seem as if it's more environmentally friendly when it really isn't. I fell in this trap the other day. I bought a different brand of baking paper because I don't know how it got me, but it was like, you know, a nice textured brown box and the baking paper was brown instead of white. And I immediately thought this must somehow be cleaner or more eco something. Boy, was I wrong. I paid an extra $3. And for what? Brown baking paper? My goodness. So what people are talking about on TikTok is there's this really interesting creator who is making videos doing really deep, deep, deep dives into supposedly sustainable businesses and unpacking whether or not they are actually sustainable.
Okay. And what is she finding?
That they're not.
They're not. Okay, so we are being greenwashed.
It's such a bummer. We are being greenwashed 100%. This person who's making these videos, her name is Tanya Volt. Tanya spelt normally Volt like the electricity, Tanya Volt. And she's done quite a few videos. I won't name and shame any brands. If people are curious, they can go and have a look for themselves.
But are they familiar brands?
They are familiar brands, okay. Especially for... I would say, you know, people in that like 20 to 35 age bracket and who are into kind of funky clothing.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that, that kind of vibe. So it's very interesting and a little bit sad, to be honest. But what she's done is she's gone into not just what the company policies are, but she's looked at who invests in the companies, who has a stake in these companies. If they say that we are, you know, no animal cruelty, great, amazing. But is that company actually funded by a family member whose money is made from live animal exports? Mm. It goes that deep.
Fantastic. I love it. Does she do Australian companies?
Yes, she does. The two companies that I watched last night were both Australian companies. And if you're in that kind of fashion, sustainability, interest kind of space, and even if you aren't, or you have kids who, you know, are wearing some funky shoes all of a sudden, you will be familiar with what some of these products look like. And look, it's not on me to tell you what you should or shouldn't buy, but it is really interesting to kind of come at it with a bit more of a critical lens and think, how am I being sold to? And for what cost? Who is benefiting from my money and where I'm deciding to purchase my items from?
I love it. And, you know, a rule of thumb that I often apply to things like, you know, might be personal, you know, shampoos and body products or cleaning products or stuff like that. I look at when they're manufactured. And because I think, you know, they've got to transport them as well. And I tend to go for the locally manufactured stuff rather than the stuff that's shipped from overseas in a mass-produced, you know, factory somewhere. So, you know, at least then I know whether they claim it's green or not, they haven't transported it far.
100%. I'm exactly the same. Even if, you know, it's the same product or relatively the same as something else, if it's manufactured closer to where I live, I know that it hasn't come on a boat or a plane to get over to Australia. And at most, it's come through a truck with a bunch of other products from a very similar location. And it really cuts down on the carbon emissions that go into making your products. So it's really important. If this is something that you care about or you would like to care about, just have a little Google. Or, you know, it's so easy. Just watch a TikTok. 30 seconds of your life and you're going to learn something about where your products come from.
Tanya Volt, it is. Now, before we run out of time, let's head back to the, shall we say the 1930s, maybe up to the 1950s.
Go back in time when
women were performing very limited roles and didn't have as many career prospects as hopefully they do today. This is happening on TikTok.
Yes. So this is a new special interest of mine. I'm so involved and it's wild to me. So we say take a step back to the 1920s or the 1930s or just open TikTok on your phone and you will find yourself in the trad wife community. So trad wife stands for traditional wife. And this is a group of people who create content around the idea of fulfilling traditional roles in the home. And this may or may not be your cup of tea, depending on who you are, but it's fascinating to watch. And there are women who, you know, they're making their own sourdough, but more than that, they're, you know, churning their own butter, they're homeschooling their children, they are doing all the things that a quote unquote traditional housewife would do. And there is drama in this community, and I'm so here for it.
What's the drama?
Well, there is one person who's really at like the pinnacle of the trad wife community on TikTok, and it's an account called Ballerina Farms. And so she posts a lot of content about, you know, pickling her own vegetables. They grow a lot of produce on the farm that they live on, you know, has many, many, many children. And it's very farmhouse aesthetic, but in the olden days, like it looks like you're watching it through a sepia toned lens kind of thing. And what people have found is that not only is it not really the kind of farm that they think it is, but she actually has an incredibly, incredibly rich husband. The oven that's very rustic in the background is actually a $20,000+ oven that's designed to look like it's very old. And people are really mad and have actually come out and said that they believe that she is cosplaying as a poor person, cosplaying as a working class person, when in reality, she is actually in a very well-off situation financially. Again, that's speculation, but, you know, you can imagine. And is acting as if this is a very humble, very quaint kind of life that they're living, when her husband has a large, large stake in a massive airline company in America.
And a $20,000 oven. I mean, that would do all the housework for you as far as I'm concerned.
You would think so, but this oven, it's you know, it's green, it has all the curved edges,
it
has
the
knobs, it looks like an old-timey oven. Her kitchen looks like a set from a movie, you know, in the 1900s, but it's a very carefully curated thing that she's pulled together. It's really impressive, honestly, to have this kind of image around her channel and to have created this narrative when in reality, they are coming from a position of immense financial privilege that she is able to do these things. You know, it's not just, I have to stay home and I have to look after my kids. It's my husband makes so much money that I am able to play as if I am, this housewife that's doing all of these things. You know, it's a very complicated, layered kind of situation.
Edith, we have got so much we need to go and check out on TikTok. Thank you for joining us. We'll chat to you again next week.
Thank you so much. Have a good night.
You too. That is Dr. Edith Hill, Associate Lecturer in Learning and Teaching Innovation from Flinders University. You can catch Edith every Wednesday here on Joy Drive.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.